Chapter 2. Defenders of the City, circa 100 to 536. Rome, the 2nd century AD. The Christians were growing in numbers and developing their own organization, but they still had a long way to go. Their composition, too, was changing. Their earliest communities were almost exclusively composed of Jews, but the Jewish population was now on the decline. Many had emigrated from Jerusalem to Pella, in what is now the Kingdom of Jordan, in 66, after the execution of their leader, James. The Christian community in Rome was now overwhelmingly Gentile, and would become still more so with the passage of time. How was it administered? Although St. Irenaeus of Lyon gives us the list of the first 13 popes, from St. Peter down to Eleutherius, circa 175 to 189, it is important to remember that until at least the 9th century, the title of pope, which derives from the Greek papas, little father, was applied generally to any senior member of the community. Rome was far from being a diocese as we understand the word today. Nor was the Roman Church, such as it was, generally accepted or even respected. The empire, after all, had its own official religion, though nobody much believed in it, and Christians everywhere were still well advised to keep a discreetly low profile. The Neronian nightmare was over, but outbreaks of persecution still could and did occur. There was, for example, a disagreeable period under the Emperor Domitian, AD 81 to 96, who himself had delusions of divinity and insisted on being addressed as Dominus et Deus, Master and God. Fortunately for the Christians, however, he was assassinated during a palace revolt, and they were quick to see his fate as a sign of heavenly displeasure. The first half of the 2nd century saw, if not a more benevolent, at least a more indifferent attitude on the part of the emperors toward their Christian subjects. Trajan, Hadrian, and Antoninus Pius, who together ruled from 98 to 161, were all inclined to let them be. But the empire by now covered a vast area, and not all its provincial governors took so enlightened a view. Excuses could always be found for the occasional bloodbath. Besides, the public demanded its circuses, and the animals had to be fed. The two most brilliant churchmen of their day, St. Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch, the first writer to use the Greek word Catholic or universal in its religious sense, and his friend St. Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna, a champion of St. Paul and the suspected author of several of the Pauline epistles, both met martyrs' deaths, the former being fed to the lions in the arena in circa 110, the latter stabbed to death some half a century later at the age of about 86, after the failure of an attempt to burn him at the stake. Ignatius and Polycarp, both Levantines, illustrate another problem for the early church in Rome. The fact that Christianity was essentially a Levantine religion, the greater part of which was still firmly centered in the Greek-speaking world of the Eastern Mediterranean. Considered from the perspective of history, the churches which, thanks to St. Paul and his successors, were springing up in Asia Minor, Egypt, Syria, and Greece, were far more important than the relatively small communities in Italy. Alexandria was by now the second city of the empire, Antioch, where the word Christian was first used, the third. Intellectually, too, these cities were incomparably more distinguished. Despite the fact that Greek was, even in Rome itself, the first language of Christianity, and would continue to be dominant in the liturgy until the middle of the 4th century, and that the 1st and 2nd century popes in Rome were nearly all Greek.